Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is London calling. Here is the last news bulletin for today. The time through which we are now passing is of exceptional character.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Full Reptile Radio. I wanted to intro it, so you... Oh, there we go. Hats on. Podcast started.
We're on.
Lots to talk about from the weekend.
Dude, so much.
So you've watched the main card, but not yet the undercard, is that correct?
Yeah, I didn't watch the prelims.
Because you were looking at monkeys yesterday.
I went to the monkey forest.
Okay.
It was brilliant. So there's, it's in a properly chilled out little place. And basically you get in and like you go through the double doors and it's the same monkeys that are on Gibraltar.
Right.
So you know when you go over.
Do you know them by name? You recognise them?
I know the ones.
Oh, you went to get their autographs? Was it like a meet and greet?
Yeah, it's like a family reunion, to be fair.
Set their trading cards and...
Dude, it was so good. Yeah. But yeah, it was a family reunion for monkeys. Well, a couple of things off that. Because Stacey's grandparents lived in Spain. We used to go to Gibraltar to get the cheap fags and booze.
Cigarettes for everyone in America.
All over. We need to do a shout out as well for YouTube. We're going to tangent off.
Oh,
tangent.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Full Reptile Worldwide. Worldwide.
Where's
my sunglasses?
You do need the Hollywoods.
We have got the gold gloves out today, though.
Yeah. Got no glasses. So.
Top Boxer Custom. Look at those.
Mate, I would do want to steal them every time.
I know
it's
the
inverted,
logo is inverted.
Which breaks me.
They're the one off, though. We've got the. Anyway.
We're all good.
We digress good. Already.
Okay, so we've got Gibraltar, Monkey Forest, and gloves. So. Quick one on Gibraltar. We used to go over there, but you could only take out 200 cigarettes, 5 pouches of tobacco, or a litre of alcohol.
Right.
Stacey's grandparent, the legend that was Albert, Stacey's granddad, used to drive us from Malaga in his old Clio, and he used to take us there with extra jumpers and T-shirts. So we could go in, we'd get a load of gear, bring it out, the mules that we were.
Of course.
We'd go back in again with a different jumper on. But because he's from back in the day, he knew the Cray twins, he told us.
Right. Okay?
They used to send for Albert because he's the man. So he knew the Cray twins back in the day. So like he used
for smuggling contraband out of Gibraltar.
Exactly. But he used to get
in his Cortina.
And he'd get us and he'd be like, right, you got your outfits, Uncle Albert.
Got the geezer
Got your outfits. And be like, yeah. Why are you talking Cockney? He's like, I don't know. Fuck it, let's go. So he takes us off and we used to go and get a load of shit from Gibraltar, which was... Well, I used to pay for the holiday.
And that's how you met Lee Murray in prison.
That's how I met Lee Murray and we got connected with the Gibraltar monkeys. But going back to the monkey forest, we went, obviously me, Stace and the girls went. And as we're walking around, there's like an Easter egg hunt so that you find all the words that are on these Easter eggs. So it keeps the kids entertained and stuff.
With the monkeys.
So monkeys holding Easter eggs.
I don't like the idea of monkeys with Easter eggs.
Yeah, they had like advertising.
Like crazy on sugar.
Smashing
Easter eggs into their face,
chocolate eggs
growling at the kids. And eating the foil as well. Yeah. You've got sparkly shit for the next 3 weeks.
And pineapple. pineapple and fucking sparkly shit.
Why pineapple?
They had a lot of pineapple kicking around. When they did the feeding thing, they were just chucking out pina.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pineapple and
so
eggs.
So the monkeys got pineapple and the kids got Easter eggs.
Well, no, there's no eggs. That's the thing. It was a bit of a swizz. We got to the end and it was like, put your entry in here for a prize draw. And I was like, oh, fuckers. It wouldn't have cost you a lot to chuck us an egg. But fair enough. They were all right with it. But as we're walking around, there's loads of signage of like, it's like an educational walk. So you're learning everything. And as we've been walking around, there's been monkeys everywhere. And all the girls, they're watching everything that's going off. There was a complete tap out wanker there. I don't know where he was from. He wasn't British. and he looked a bit Hispanic, but he was just fucking aggro. Walking around, he had shorts on and it was cold. He had an old tap-out top, and he had a big old top knot here.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, when you go into
tattooed. Monkeys,
yeah. When we go in, he had a Tong Po tattoo here. And when we went in, they said, no eating, no drinking, blah, blah, blah. It's for the safety of the animals. No double dickheads. So what's he do? He walked in with an apple and was trying to eat it. And this woman, she must have been, I don't know, 40, 45, bless her. And she looked like a volunteer. And she went, oh, excuse me, you can't eat in here. It's a danger to the monkeys and blah, blah, blah. So he just looked her dead in the eye, took another bite and walked off. Went, okay, blah, 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 okay, okay. So I was like, oh, fuck, I'm glad Dan's not here, because he would definitely have put his grippy trainers on to clock this guy. So I was thinking, oh, no, what would the outlaw do? So I sort of got myself in position and turned around, and she came up to him again because he hadn't done anything. And she said, can you not eat that? And he launched it into the forest. And he's like, what a prize dickhead.
No need for that.
Yeah, so that was the tap out wanker was there. But 2 minutes after that, there was a board and it had different diagrams of the things that the monkeys do, so you can get used to it. So like, this is a playful face, this is an aggressive face, and it was numbered. And we're getting Libby to read everything because she's seven, and obviously she's doing that thing where she's just learning, so it's wicked. So she's going down and she's like, playful face, blah, blah, blah. Gets to seven and she's like, seven, mating. What's mating? And literally we turn around and these two monkeys are fully banging it out. And I was like, that's mating there, darling. That is. That's how they mate the other monkeys.
And then they turn around and go, but I thought that was ground and pound.
That was ground and pound. Honestly, mate, it was full Tito. It was a bit...
Monkey Forest ground and pound.
Yeah, Monkey Forest ground and pound. So that's where we were.
Monkey. That sounds like something to do with Forrest Griffin.
Yeah. The Forrest Griffin of Eleanor.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Anyway.
So that was your weekend. That's where we were.
So that's why you've not watched the undercard yet.
Yeah, so I watched the main card. I managed to squirrel myself away in my eldest's bedroom, which is now the loft room. Mm-hmm. I shut all the blinds. Pitch black, got on Fight Pass, and I literally watched the whole thing. It was brilliant. I had, two and a bit hours to myself.
Nice.
Yeah, I paid for it in the end, but yeah, it was good.
Of course. I mean, there's always a cost to peace and quiet.
For real, yeah. I had a lot of it. Me and Ben just chilling watching the whole thing.
So, so before we start talking about the undercard, the main card then, let me give you two fights to watch that are definitely worth a watch, and it will take you less than a round to watch them both.
Okay.
Khalid Taha and Boston Salmon.
Yep.
Beautiful work. Good stoppage as well by the referee. Okay. No debate in that. And Alejandro Pantoja against Wilson Hayes.
Did you say his name again?
Alejandro Pantoja.
Pantoja, what a name. Pantoja. That's a brand in itself, isn't it?
Isn't it, right?
It sounds a bit thrash metal, but...
a bit like Pantera, yeah. I can see that. He looked awesome.
He did look awesome.
Yeah. I talked about the way he used his shin and knee across Wilson
Hayes. I saw that on the open mat.
Yeah. So they're definitely worth a watch. There were other good fights on the card. I was a little bit disappointed with Zelim Imadaev because I was expecting him to be an absolute ferocious beast in this weight class. He was 8-0 coming in, and he was fighting Max Griffin, coming off two losses. So you're kind of looking at it and thinking this is an opportunity for an unbeaten fighter to get a win over a good name in the division. Yeah, he just looked a bit reckless. He looked a bit wild. And it was obvious that Max Griffin didn't really want to strike with him, but he spent so much energy like flying at him, spinning at him. You know what I mean? Like opening himself up with unnecessarily risky takedowns, attacks and stuff.
But does that sometimes not make the fighter? When you look at like Bisping, when Bisping went in for his unbeaten shot against Rashad.
Mm-hmm.
It's him and Rashad, right? They were both unbeaten, went into that fight. And Bisping could have argued that he won it, but I think it refocused him a bit on as far as you've always got that unbeaten thing sat there, and it's sort of like that extra life that once it's gone, it's like, okay, I can refocus now. I know what I'm doing, I'm good. Like Max at the weekend, Max took it like an absolute champ. I mean, I know we'll talk about it in a minute, but what a legend. But to have that not on him anymore, what do you reckon? Do you reckon he's going to come back stronger next time? He's got a bit more hunger because obviously he's lost an unfortunate decision, which like you say, if he's 8-0 and looking the way he was, I mean, Max Griffin's no bomb.
But he'll watch that fight back and think, if I'd have just not done that then, I could have kept him in a place where I could have properly hurt him with something.
Yeah, man.
Just more calculated. I don't know whether it was excitement or whether he felt like he needed to deliver for the UFC fans in some way. I get it. But at the same time, like if you do your, you know, if you do your sensible work in the early rounds, there's time for that kind of stuff 100%. In the later rounds. And
yeah.
if you start doing it too much, it loses its effectiveness anyway, because like a flying knee or a spinning elbow, the reason they're effective is because people don't see them coming.
Yeah.
Because they don't expect them.
No.
Because they've not seen them like 20 times that round already.
No, that's the problem. When you keep going back to the well.
Exactly.
And especially with flashy shit, because it takes, not only does it take energy.
So much energy.
It's distance. And then when it's not landing, you're just telegraphing. Mm-hmm. Because the problem is you can't morph your entire body without a tell.
Right.
I mean, we'll come on to Khalil Rountree in a minute, but his inside leg kick, literally no tell. But if he spun around twice, did a backflip and then kicked someone, you'd be like, I know what's coming, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So. But like, I was talking about this the other day to Darren Stewart, who were watching the fights on Saturday night.
Le Dentiste.
I should have asked him about my front tooth. Could have fixed Castle Grayskull. The only way he's
fixing that is by punching it.
I know, right? He could just remove that. It's so much quicker than an actual dentist could. Oh. Yeah. I should probably tell the story about that, because people are always giving me shit for my British teeth.
Yeah, do it, man.
I don't think so.
I don't know if it's a lot of people. Matt Riddle was definitely a person that, didn't he call you a butter tooth?
Yeah, but...
What does that even mean?
I don't...
I mean, I am random as fuck, but I have never called anyone a butter tooth.
No, I don't know. That guy's kind of faded into whatever. He was a weird dude.
Yeah.
He was a bit sick in the brain, I think.
Yeah, I think he is touring local circuits doing a wrestling
thing. Oh, yeah, he is, isn't he? He's pro wrestling now. Anyway, that's way too much airtime for that guy.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Yeah, I was in a boxing gym back in the day. I won't mention the name. It was closed because of it needed to be closed.
Because of geezers.
There's a lot of shit going on there.
Did Stacey's granddad Albert know the owner?
He may have been the owner.
Yeah.
It was a cool spot though. I used to really enjoy training there. And they had two boxing rings. They had like a mezzanine floor in one corner of the space. It was like a big warehouse space. Big bodybuilding gym, loads of like old, like dusty, like chipped, rusted plates and stuff.
Yeah.
Like everything that was too unsafe for every other gym.
Was the changing room full of like camel coats and sovereigns?
Camel coats, sovereigns, steroids, and just like every locker didn't match.
Yeah.
None of them had locks on.
No.
Because like the safest thing to do for most of the guys in the gym was just to write their name on the locker.
Yeah.
So you just didn't
don't go near Big Al's.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I know the one.
So I'm in the boxing ring downstairs, which was a little bit small. I had a couple of holes in the floor, so I'm like trying to pay attention not to roll my ankle. Doing a bit of shadow boxing because I'm fighting in a couple of weeks' time. And in the boxing ring upstairs on the mezzanine, which was slightly bigger, the guy that owned the gym was up there. He was an old Jamaican boy. He was handy with his, you know, handy with his fists, but he had two sort of 15, 16-year-old kids in there that were big kids, like ruffians, trouble causers, you know what I mean? They'd been sent to the boxing gym instead of school so they didn't stab anyone at school kind of kids, right? And they're body sparring. You can imagine how terribly that's going to go. Because these two kids, they know each other, but it's all testosterone and bragging rights back then. So they're body sparring. One guy throws a punch, it slips off the other kid's shoulder and smacks him in the face. And then it's a full-on fight.
Yeah.
And Tony's in the middle, trying to keep him apart, trying to keep him separate. Two big lads, like, trying to get around him. And I'm thinking, this guy's, like, in his 60s. He needs some help.
Play the game.
I jump out the ring, run upstairs, jump in through the ropes. And as a punch is thrown, I grab the guy that was meant for the punch. And it got me right in the face.
Ooh.
And it just knocked the tooth. It knocked the tooth out. But it stayed connected. And so I'm grabbing this guy. And like, I kind of wrestle him out the boxing ring, pin him up against the mirrors. And I'm holding him there. And at the same time, I'm like, I've got my mouth full of blood.
Something feels funny.
Something's not right here.
Yeah.
And I can feel that this tooth here was like flat into the roof of my mouth.
Ooh.
So anyway, calm down. Some other people came to help out. Spat the blood out. And I looked in the mirror and the tooth was like out, as I said. So I pulled it forward and pushed it back in and held it in with my tongue.
Cushed it.
And just drove straight to the dentist. But by the time I got there, the gum had all shrank around it.
Ooh.
But,
and that's where we stay now.
Yeah, but the reason it's kind of grey is because it bled into the enamel. So
You do brush your teeth, because I've seen you brush.
I do brush. I'm obsessive about brushing my teeth, especially now I drink coffee so much.
You got a fancy
the little sonic thing.
Yeah,
it's very cool. That is. Kid Misty was videoing me brushing my teeth the other day
in a
shower because there was no sink in the dressing room.
Okay. Because I normally turn up and you're either brushing your teeth with a sonic fancy pants, or you got a mouthful of sesame oil.
Sesame oil. I do oil pull first.
I'll be with you in a second. Sesame oil.
Yeah.
And you spend the next 20 minutes like some Texan ranger just spitting into a spittoon.
Yeah, because it does, yeah, because you know, it kind of sticks to your teeth. But it's good for your gums, though. Good for your gums and teeth.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you change Castle Grey School now,
mm-hmm.
your gum shields won't fit.
No, they won't. But yeah. I'm ready for some new ones anyway. Safe Jaws actually sent me... Safe Jaws? They sent me a mould the other day, so I need to get my...
Okay.
I need to get my new one moulded. I am doing new mouth guard. But yeah, when this comes out, I'm going full hardcore and I'm having metal put in there instead.
Nice. Well, Bullet Tooth Tony.
Dude.
Then
someone needs to shoot at me and I don't fancy that.
Yeah, I don't know, because they've got to go in, you've got to have them taken out to be then moulded into tea. Mm. So that's, yeah, probably a bad idea.
Could I have someone like throw a teaspoon at me and get that melted down?
Oh, like off the old teaspoon cartoon, Hardy. Teaspoon and teabag. You know that?
I don't know what cartoon that is.
Yeah, T-shirt and teabag.
T-shirt and teabag.
There was like 12 spoons across wherever and they had to go and find them every episode. My mate's nan was the fairy in that, the godmother. Weirdly. Some people will remember, they'll be like half a dozen.
Yeah.
Half a dozen people, like just going,
six listeners,
yeah,
all spread around the world,
yeah, listening to random. We need
Full
to
Reptile
hit
Radio, so,
yeah,
worldwide. Worldwide, we need to get that. What's it called?
Prestige Worldwide.
Fucking Prestige Worldwide.
Can we rent helicopters?
I did go with full gold today. I've got my.
Yeah, I've gone quite prestigious, haven't you?
I feel like this. I've got this gold Raptor sweatshirt. Do you like it?
I do like it.
You do. You like it?
I like it because I made it. But then I realised that it was a large, and I was like, motherfucker. Sorry. I'm not a large.
It fits well though, doesn't it?
It looks good, man.
I feel like it needs a sound effect. Every time I go over the little full reptile line underneath, it should go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's nice. Yeah. So. Raptors Worldwide.
I thought you were going to bring us back to the fights then.
No, I'm no way. No way, never. I know we did just say in there.
Raptors are on Instagram. Did we say that last week?
We did.
We did say that last week.
Did you get some followers? Yeah. You said at the Raptors MMA, but it's at Raptors MMA, isn't it? Mother flumper. That you're just killing yourself. We dropped that like it was hot, man. Dropped. At Raptors MMA. Okay.
Just Raptors MMA. And we are going to put some sweatshirts out soon.
Yeah, we're going to put some sweats and tees out.
Come and jump in for a minute. And,
can you do a twirl?
Are you videoing on something? Are you live on Instagram? Let's have a little look at these. I mean, Mystery's tumble dried is like 16 times, so it looks like he's had it since the 80s.
Yeah, don't think...
I don't know what that's
about.
Don't
think that it's not brand new. Because it is brand new.
Goddamn hipsters, huh?
Look at him.
Look at that. Yeah.
So
yeah.
You've got the flames, yeah, and the solid. Have we got any solid? Or just yours?
Just mine.
Yours is solid.
Just mine. No, that's solid flames.
Solid flames, outline flames.
And we can add dog hairs by request as well. These are both covered in white dog hairs.
Just tap us up. If you want dog hairs or not, just use code add pooch.
Add dander.
Yeah. What the fuck? Yeah.
I don't know.
There you go. Well, so...
We're like 40 minutes into the podcast.
Are we really?
We've only talked about the undercard.
Yeah, and the Monkey Forest. and the Gibraltar. Monkey Forest.
And this fucking mic.
It keeps...
I like your new lead, though.
My blue lead.
I ordered myself a Smurf blue lead and
I stole it.
Into his
I thought
mic.
It'd be into the purple, but
no,
you
do
wore
like
black
the
and gold, so I'm definitely stealing blue.
You know I'm a fan of the perp.
Papa Smurf. So we jumped on to the YouTube channel, and we'd mentioned a couple of times, because of our colloquialisms, we didn't know if the word's getting out there. So just a shout out to all the people that decided to comment. We have got Latvia, Ballymuda Triangle,
Ballymuda Triangle, Northern Ireland.
Man, this is fucking bananas. Like, you've got Australia, Hawaii. Lorenzo is listening in Hawaii. Thanks, Lorenzo. What a boss.
Hi, Lorenzo, in Hawaii. I've never been to Hawaii, but I have a half-finished tattoo on my leg by Robert Foe.
And oh, really?
I was on my way out to Vegas. Like, last time I was flying out there for the fights, so I sent him a message. I'm like, I'm on my way out to Vegas. Can we get my tattoo finished? He's like, oh, sorry, bro. I live in Hawaii now.
How's it,
bro?
I bet he's tattooing Dog the Bounty Hunter instead.
Of course he
and
is.
And Beth. Bit of Beth. There's a lot of tattoo in there, isn't there?
Probably Max Holloway as well. He's a wicked tattoo artist.
He's the
guy that did my portrait.
It's nice, man.
Yeah, my Bruce Lee portrait.
If you imagine Max Holloway's like an A4 sheet, Beth was like an
A0.
Which is oversized. Yeah, he's a fish finger man. But I think we have got a lot in common because we've both got a lot of Maui tattoos. There's a lot of Kiritu.
Mauam tattoos.
Maui. Mauam.
Mauam tattoos.
M-A-O-M.
You need a Mauam tattoo. Mauam.
I would get one.
There we go. That's an episode. That's an episode of Fight Inc.
Fighting Owen, getting a Mauam. No, man, I just have to... Look, everything's black and grey. I can't have a black and grey Mauam.
You can have a black and grey Mauam.
I don't know. It would just look like a stick.
Like, it could be like 1950s flavour.
Yeah.
Whichever that is. World Probably War some II kind flavor. Of menthol.
Yeah, it would be a powdered menthol. Filth. One name I'm going to shout out, though, is Guybrush Threepwood, because that's from the Discworld series.
Is it?
I'm sure it is. But he is in Vietnam, or she's in Vietnam. They. I don't know. It says Guybrush.
Go with they.
They. They're in Vietnam. They. He, she, it, they.
Vietnam.
Dude, so many. Yeah, Vietnam, all the way from Derby. Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop.
I probably know that person.
The DE Massive.
Easy.
Easy.
DCFC.
Not for, my dad's not going to speak to me for
no,
saying
for
that.
No, for real, if I say anything Derby.
He's got a Nottingham Panthers jersey sponsored by Derby University, and he put black tape over the Derby University thing.
That's extreme. My little brother, who's mad football. Into football, has punched my mum's partner in the face after a football game because he got a little bit leery. My mum was dropping him off and my brother's like, there's literally nothing on him.
Literally nothing.
He is about 3 stone wet through. And he's sat in the back of the car and they're having a bit of a word because he's a Forest fan and Will's a Derby fan. He says something. He's like, stop the car, mum. Stop. Gets out, punches him through the window while there's an unmarked police car just up the road. So bear in mind, this is a massive domestic and the guy deserved a slap. So it was one of them where he's like walking away. Two unmarked officers came out and was like, come with me, sir. Mm. He was like, oh, fuck's sake, man. All about football. Like, we watch fighting on the regs and no one gets into
anything. I can't imagine anyone caring about football that much, but I know a lot of people do.
No, this is
it's
it.
It's just, there's too much drama in it, too much rolling around on the grass. And,
yes, far know, too much.
It's that. Have you seen that meme with, it's like Diego Sanchez with just like a face full of blood, like, yeah. Like ready to fight.
So you want
to
be a
and
fighter?
Like one of the Barcelona players are like on the floor looking out the corner of his crying. Eye where the referee is, holding Mate. His knee. It's always the knee. It's always their knee. Nudge them in the back, they fall and grab their knee.
But it always seems like it's common sense has blown out the arse because it's like, we can see it on the camera.
Dude, I know. There's well, a, that was the clip in the fucking show the other day of me cussing and swearing, putting my shirt on. I do swear to you.
Is that about with Koscheck, with a missed knee?
Yeah.
Well, Paulie had the whole crowd in his hands because essentially...
He's got the whole crowd.
And he has got big old hands to have the whole crowd
Christian school,
in
know.
His hands.
Scarred for life.
Well, yeah, me too. Yeah, for real.
See, people ask me why I've got a crucifix tattoo, but it's me trying to be smart and not realising that that's in a prominent place and easy to see. And the text next to it, which says for my sins, because they'll think I'm a sinner because I'm...
Okay. Yeah, it's a bit... Yeah.
It work out. I'm going to see Cammy and just get it blacked out. Just...
Yeah. Straight over. Just leave the tips.
I'm such a pussy. Just that bit.
Yeah.
Brutal black.
That's
just
enough.
That bit. Like 2 square inches.
You'll do.
I've not touched it yet. Sharpie.
Yeah, mate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we had the same. We had a Christian school and we got tricked into going to the after school club, which was called the J Club. And we were going for weeks.
The J
we didn't
Club.
Know. And like every night they'd show us this video. Like, you remember the animation of Charlie says, always tell your mother before going off somewhere. And it's like a cat saying to this little boy, like, yo, tell your mum you're going to bounce because that guy looks like a kiddie fiddler. So don't go and see his puppies. Do you know what I mean?
Don't go and see his puppies.
Don't, yeah. I've got some sweeties.
He's got my own.
Take a lot more to get kids away now. It's like, I've got an iPad. What size is the memory?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You got Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So it was the same animation, but like each week you'd sit there and there was normally a dove involved and a load of people in cloaks. And it's like, are you trying to teach me religion?
Sounds they were weird.
Like, what?
And that it's sounds
like,
weird.
Hold on. What Although, does the J stand for in J Club? And they're like, Jesus. I'm like, no, I can't go back. We never went back.
Although I will say that sounds weird with the cultish kind of doves. And although we do get some interesting comments about the logo. And we have a kid that does awesome graphics for us now.
Yes,
you'll see his work on the videos on the channel.
Well, me and Kid Mystery spoke about this because when he came over, we did all the Raptors stuff, and you were saying, weren't you? Some people ask, oh, what's with all this satanic stuff and things and triangles? Don't like it. What's the Illuminati? Yeah. And I was like, I can't really explain it because I designed your vision or I drew up your vision essentially. There's a bigger meaning behind it, which I didn't think I was going to give it justice. So if it's something you ever felt like you wanted to, not even justify, explain, at least then there's a lot of people that Every time they see it, they're scared of triangles. Yeah, like, they are. They're not a big fan.
They are. What I think I'm going to do, just because if I try and start explaining it now, the logo is based on sacred geometry.
Okay.
So anyone that's into sacred geometry will start trying to figure out where it is now. The only way I can do it really, and I need to talk James through. We have another James now. We've got so many jam names in the group.
It's Joe Rogan's fault.
It is, yeah. We needed a Jamie before we had one, and now we've got Jameses and Jamies coming out of the fucking asses. Yeah, it's ridiculous. That's why we're calling them Raptors. Just group them together. Yeah. They're just Raptors.
The J Club Raptors.
Although people have started to keep an eye on you two now, and they're starting showing up because they know they just show up wherever they like.
That's it.
Just do what they like.
Just pop up.
Yeah.
Is it behind the
in
scenes?
The kitchen.
If you want. We are making sweet love. No, it's behind the scenes.
Yeah, we're not putting porn on the channel.
No,
we're not. We're not going.
It'll
that
be tasteful.
Far.
Be super tasteful, man. It's always classy.
Monkeys fucking. We've already talked about monkeys.
Monkeys were fucking. Yeah. Is that what mating is? That's hard mating. Yeah, he's got stamina. So yeah. So your logo.
So my logo. Yeah. So we need to call James and have it and like talk him through it. Cause I want it to be kind of drawn out in stages.
Oh, okay.
Starts with circles, circle, 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 yeah, circle, man. Circle, overlaps, draw the lines in, hit the triangle, boom.
I like that.
But it's like, it's knowledge, it's enlightenment, it's wisdom. It's all the things that the old CNI represents, but it's nothing to do with a secret society. Like it's that symbol has been across very various different things in history, and it's now become like the idea of an eye in a triangle has become associated with this weird secret society conspiracy thing. And it's just, I get it, I understand it. Maybe it's been used by those kind of people in the past, but this is a reptile eye, and that's why it's different. And full reptile is a satiated reptile.
Okay.
And people associated with the Illuminati, in my opinion, if the conspiracies are true and the people involved in that are doing what they're doing, then they are not satiated reptiles.
There you go.
And we are satiated reptiles. We're full reptiles.
So last week we had moles with shit on their head.
Here we go.
This week we have, is it aciated?
Satiated.
Satiated.
Not hungry anymore. Satisfied.
This pooch
exactly
is a satiated pooch.
There we go. Anyway.
Okay, so that's
so good. I'll get James to draw that up so you can actually see the way that it builds, because I would like people to see it. I don't know where it came from. It was somewhere in the depths of my brain on one of my many journeys in the mushroom back in the day.
Okay.
Felt like someone poured it into my head with a jug. It's really weird.
We should do that artwork.
Oh, dude, can you imagine?
Just a melty jug, like an old Tupperware out your mum's cupboard.
People would definitely think we've lost our mind. An old, like, gravy boat.
Yeah.
Anyway. So the fights this weekend.
Yes. The fights this weekend were watched by all the people that commented on our YouTube channel. Shout out to you, including Tasmania, Australia and Georgia. I felt like they were missing out, man.
Georgia.
Mate, I just feel like we've got a little place to stay if we ever need to. Worldwide.
All over the world.
Yeah. All right. Are we all right to...
They'd regret it within 15 minutes
for
of
real,
showing up.
Headache. Just be like, oh God, shut the fuck up. So, fights this weekend.
What do you reckon? Nikita against Ovin St. Preux?
Yo.
Rematch. They're 1-1 now.
Yeah.
Both subbed each other.
I didn't expect that. Mm. Ovin's looked fucked.
Dude, his head goes. I'm telling you.
He literally, it sent that nothing was going his way.
No.
Like at one point he had his back and just stepped up and walked off. And I was like, dude, like you were on his back, fully on his back. And he didn't do anything. He just sort of, and I can't remember, I think it was Joe that said, DC was like, oh yeah, he shrugged him off and he shook him off and managed to get up. It's like, no, he literally was on his back and just stood up. I don't know if he was thinking about raining down some bombs, but yeah, he looked absolutely, Krylov looked fucking amazing.
I always think he's been underestimated. He's tough and he's durable and he's got a skill set in every area that can be dangerous. And like the last time they fought, I mean, it was 2014, UFC 171. That was a while ago. But Ovin beat him in 90 seconds with the Von Flue choke. And I feel like if you could, everything about Ovin St. Preux is good. I mean, he's technically not great. He's ragged around the edges. He does odd things. His footwork's weird, but what he does works. And because he's such a good athlete, he can get it to be effective. The one thing he's missing, and it shows up every now and then in his fights, it showed up in the Jimmy Manoa fight as well.
Yeah.
As soon as he felt Jimmy's power, his head goes.
Don't like this.
And once he's lost that edge, that little bit of viciousness that he's got, which is not a lot. Like, if you speak to him, he's the nicest, most soft-spoken guy.
Athlete as opposed to fighter.
If you put 10% of Justin Gaethje in over Vincent Prue, he's dangerous.
Fuck.
But you just don't see that. And when he starts to panic, his conditioning goes. And when his conditioning goes, he starts to panic.
So in the reptilian family, would he be a tortoise or like a turtle or a terrapin?
I don't know as they are reptiles. Are they reptiles?
I thought they were. I don't know. I suppose I should know more about
I'm only good with human reptiles.
What about like a skink, which is a small lizard?
Mm.
Reptile for the weekend, unless you punch him.
Could be. Just like a mellow alligator that's just had a really good meal.
Like a mopey zoo alligator.
Just kind of chilling on the side of the in the sun.
Dangerous as fuck, but just leave me alone.
Yeah, exactly.
It was super disappointing because I thought, if he'd have matched the pace, it could have been an absolute... It could have been like Jimmy Manoa and Santos.
Yeah.
Because that way, I mean, as much as he got the win, it was more like... It looked like OSP had given up a bit. He sort of gave him a lot of... I can't remember who it was I spoke to once. Like, they said, if you lose by a rear naked choke, you've given up.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at like Khabib, Connor, you can see examples like that.
Yeah.
There are some times where Damien Myers, you're backpacking.
Well, that's
you're not
the thing.
Up, bro.
Like there are two types of rear naked chokes. So there are the ones that happen because you're fighting someone like Damien Myers or Gunnar Nelson, and you just can't stop that happening. And then there are the rear naked chokes. Like the perfect example is Rumble against DC.
Yeah.
He gave everything he got in the first round of the fight, and then was out of gas. And that rear naked choke was because he didn't have anything to stop him.
I think anyone that's ever rolled. If you've ever had 5 minutes on the mats and you will constantly just fucking be exhausted from the minute you start, like even if you do a bit of a warm up, you're blowing a bit. And it's one of them, it's easy to watch and say, oh, just stand up and punch him. But when you've had someone on your back or you've been on someone's back, that's quite an exhausting process at the best of times. So you know when someone is giving it up, you can see why it happens.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like with Conor and Khabib, it looked like quite a sloppy choke.
Mm.
And it's one of them where...
But he'd had enough before it was applied, you know?
But that erases a lot of a legacy. That tarnishes
the other
a lot
fight?
Of shit.
There was another fight recently and we were talking about it. And the guy got caught with a big shot and was cut. Charles Oliveira against Gunnar Nelson.
Yeah.
Perfect example. Yeah. Like that choke wasn't even really fully complete before he started tapping.
And Oliveira's good, but at the same time, it does look like a quicker, like more of a... Yeah, when you look at people like Eric Anders... he's earning every penny.
Oh,
man.
Dude.
He's not.
Can you imagine what his leg feels like?
Dude, yeah. Like filth. It's like mashed potato.
Are we jumping to that one?
No, I wasn't going to jump to that. It was just more the case that you look and you see someone like OSP who's been in there with that. He was in there for five with John. But
see, in that fight, I feel like OSP realised in the first round or so that John Jones wasn't really there.
He wasn't back.
He wasn't really applying himself in the fight, is how it felt to me. So whereas Jimmy Manoa was hunting him down, and you could see there was a fear in OSP's eyes.
Yeah, definitely.
My question is, because I don't think, as far as I know, I don't think there's anybody else in his gym that competes in MMA at a high level. And I also am not sure whether they've got enough bodies in the gym that are of similar size and athletic ability to challenge him in training.
So maybe that's it. Maybe it's a move, a little, because even his coach at the minute, like he's looking at him.
You're not tired.
You're not tired.
I'm fucking exhausted.
I am fucked, bro. Listen, put the kettle on. We'll come back in a minute. I'm fucked.
Yeah. Is it too soon to tap?
Yeah.
He was exhausted.
Where do I tap in the corner?
Yeah.
You don't. You're not tired. And I know sometimes some people need to hear that. And it was just one of them where when he's saying it as loud as he is, surely the corner, doesn't matter what nationality you are, you're picking up on that.
Yeah.
And when your coach is screaming at you, you're not fucking tired.
Yeah.
Carry on, you'll be right. He's not right. He's fucked.
He was exhausted.
Yeah, he's screwed.
But a lot of that's panic. I really do believe a lot of it's panic.
Well, it's that adrenaline dump, isn't it? I mean, if you've ever had that, doesn't matter if you were cherry knocking as a kid, door to door.
Yeah.
The minute that you've done something and you just that adrenaline dump and you're like, and you get all shaky. I mean, he's got a big guy coming after him and obviously wants to avenge that loss. I don't know if he overlooked him a bit. I don't know if he thought, well, I've done it before. I did it in 90 seconds, bro. What's he got now?
Maybe.
And that happens. Maybe. That does happen.
Especially because Krylov was coming off was it a first round loss? Renick, a choke loss?
Yeah.
I'm sure it was a first round to Jan. So Krylov's 1-1 since he's been back in the UFC. But I just, I feel like we've not seen. No. Oh no, it was second round rear naked choke. So OSP looked at him and was probably like, "Yeah, I can exploit."
Yeah, well, I've already Von Prude'd him.
Yeah,
and I can flip in rear naked. But it seems that OSP is doing that thing where he's either spectacularly winning or spectacularly losing.
Mm.
And I think he'll stay around because he's a relative name. But I just think if you're right, and he has got another gym that he could have a go with. I know that's an awkward conversation to have or an awkward decision to make.
But even if he goes with his coaches and just gets sparring at a different gym, I don't know how far he'd have to travel to get sparring at a decent gym, but I think it's worth it. I think he needs to feel that pressure in the gym before he gets into the octagon.
Exactly.
You know, before we move on to the next fight, I've just pulled up the stats because I wanted to have a look at the final stats on this fight. What did you think to it? How did you score it? Alan Jaban against Dwight Grant.
I thought Alan had done enough. I thought the problem is there was a couple of times when he got put backwards by Grant.
Mm-hmm.
Like he just almost that Max Holloway sort of pressure. Not like he was hitting him. There was a couple of times. There was one where Alan walked onto a massive left hand. Fuck. Snap. But I mean, he walked through it. He ate it like a boss.
Mm.
But he seemed to be dictating the pace. He was the one constantly chasing. He wasn't cutting him off, but he was imposing his will.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it would have helped if he'd have sort of gone backwards a bit, because Grant's a counterpuncher. And sometimes taking someone out of their element a little bit, you get to see a bit more. But in fairness, it was really, really close.
Mm.
Alan Jaban did not take that well.
No. I know Alan. I've trained with him. He's a very, very good fighter. The one thing he was lacking, and I don't know whether it was a conscious decision to not just step across and cut him off, like, an octagon's only so big.
Yeah.
If you find yourself following someone for 15 minutes, you're not painting them into a corner.
No.
Like, you're not painting them into... There's no reason why. You should be able to put somebody against the fence within a minute with good footwork.
Yes.
Like, of course you're going to get someone that's aggressive. And if that's the case, then you deal with that in a different way. But if you've got someone like Dwight Grant, who was just backing up, trying to counterpunch, you know you're going to have to walk forward. If you just follow them, it gets predictable. And that's why, I mean, Dwight Grant threw 122 strikes, he landed 38. So that's a 31% success rate. Alan Jaban was moving forward the whole time, but he only threw 100 strikes and only landed 24. He got one of two takedowns. So he failed to take down the first round.
Yeah.
And I think his intention was to come out and try and implement wrestling as a big part of his game. But then again, when you've got someone backing up, moving away, it's so difficult to get a takedown. You need him either against the fence or moving forward. And because he wasn't able to put him against the fence, he wasn't able to hit him with anything real clean and certainly not take him down.
Did we jinx it because we said Alan Jaban's never been in a boring fight?
I thought it was going to be a really good fight, I'll be honest. I honestly did. It's interesting that one of the judges scored it 30-27.
Yeah.
And the other two 29-28.
I honestly discount the majority of judges' decisions if it's split, because it's never a case that you look and go, fair enough. Mm. It's like, what the fuck were you watching? They're almost on a full DC and been on their phone the entire fight and gone, has someone won?
Yeah.
It's like, dude, it's Sunday. Everyone's gone. Do you know what I mean? They seem to miss so fucking much.
Yeah.
But we're still in that, I mean, 25 years in, you'd like to think there's enough retired fighters.
Yeah.
I mean, shout out to Rich Franklin. Nice to see him put in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah.
Mate.
About time.
He was Stacey's favourite.
Dude, after taking those knees to the face from...
Anderson didn't even throw a punch.
Yeah.
And iced the current middleweight champion in the first.
That was rough to
watch. Ridiculous. And especially for how much he looked like Jim Carrey. That was what always freaked me out. It was a math teacher that looked like Jim Carrey that murdered Nate Quarry.
Oh, man.
What the fuck?
What a knockout that was.
Yeah. It was
proper stiff.
Yeah.
Marbleized.
He was.
Stole that off John Gooden.
He wasn't even climbing the ladder. He wasn't Shorbin.
No, milking the referee.
Yeah, he was more like, that's one of the first times I saw someone fully go like, meh.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or what Barboza did the other day with the dead bug.
Mate, Barboza just went to die in flight. I know we never even mentioned this because he's had the biggest highlight reel knockout of Etim.
That's what we said earlier.
And now
you pay for it eventually.
It's coming back, man. Around. It's coming around, and he's asking for it with interest because he got knocked out to the point where he was like picking stuff out the cage as a dying fly.
Yeah, dude. That's what I was saying. I said that to people after the Condit knockout. It's like, I've done it enough times. It was going to happen to me eventually.
Someone's going to get one.
You know, yeah. I'll probably do a few more, to be honest.
Mate.
I'm done. That's it. I'm staying out of the gym. Staying away from everybody.
That's why I didn't take you to the Monkey Forest, because there would have been a guy that either threw me and you into the monkeys. You're a tapawaga. Man.
So I was a bit disappointed with that fight, I'll be honest.
Who did you think win?
No, I scored it for Dwight Grant. Okay. But it's difficult to score it for someone when they're being as defensive with their footwork as that. I think, but I mean, if you're dealing with a counter striker, the onus is on you as an aggressor to put them in a place where you can hit them.
Yeah.
And I mean, Dwight wasn't ever really put in a corner.
No.
I think he did enough to win. It was a bit frustrating, but I think from a viewer's perspective, it's being a counterpuncher is like playing guard. I know I've said that before. If you're on guard bottom and you're working for stuff off your back, you're losing the fight until you win.
Yeah.
Same thing with a counterpuncher, really.
You're putting yourself in a worse position to start off with. So
because you're automatically giving up octagon control.
Yes.
That's the first thing that you're giving up for most people's perspectives. But I wouldn't have scored either of those guys with octagon control because neither of them really controlled the octagon very well. It's difficult to...
Well, it's almost a 10-point sliding scale. So if you're facing each other nose or anything, it's a 5-5.
Mm-hmm.
But then when someone's on their back waiting for you to come into their guard, like Damien Meyer and Anderson, it's like a 7-3.
Yeah, yeah. If it looks weaker, doesn't it?
Completely. Yeah, yeah. Even though no one's punching anyone, no one's doing anything, but you're lying on your back offering someone to come in, that's like a easier 2/3 to 1/3. But
yeah.
Not that we can get that graphic made, but you know what I mean. And I think the problem is there's a lot of times you have to watch a fight again, because when you watch it fresh the first time, even if you mean to, you tend to watch one more than the other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really interesting thing to do. If you've never done it before, go back and watch a fight that you've seen and watch just one guy.
Yeah.
Fuck me, it twists your brain because you think, you never did that. And you're more watching than the guy that you follow, if it is Alan Jabouin or if it's Wilson Hay, whoever it is that you're used to watching and following. When you watch the other guy, you're like, holy shit.
Mm.
And they do so much more stuff that you don't even acknowledge.
Yeah.
So it is really hard to be a judge. I'm just hoping that we get to the point where we've got enough retired fighters that they just start bringing them in, because there's enough knowledge out there that aren't linked to a camp that you could go, yeah, all right, yeah, well, you're on the next card. And the people that are doing it are just not fit for purpose at all. They're just... so archaic, but it's like they keep getting the call.
It's not the kind of thing that you can go through like a weekend of training to do. Like you can understand the scoring criteria, but you also need to understand what you're watching. This is another argument as well, is like your interpretation of martial arts is going to influence what you see. So if you're a jiu-jitsu player, you're going to instinctively. I do it with striking. I always focus more and score more heavily on the striking. Partly because I do feel like striking is a more valuable form of
attack.
Yes.
But if you've got someone like Adam Cattrall, for example, who loves the striking game, you almost negate a lot of the grappling.
Because
when you've practiced jits or you've seen someone escape something, it's like, I mean, Israel and Kelvin at the weekend, there was a deep guillotine and a slick triangle, and there's a lot of stuff that... The way that it was either applied or avoided is fucking bananas. Mm-hmm. That's a big, big win for whoever's got whichever end of that. And I think there's a lot of time that is, you look past it, because so many of my friends will be like, oh God, they're doing that cuddling bit. And I almost have to filter fights to be like, oh, you'll like this one.
Yeah.
Like just to keep their engagement. I showed my dad the Gaethje fight at the weekend. And I love my dad to bits, obviously, but he will turn straight into a pundit. The minute we start watching any fight, he's like, yeah, well. And he'll always go with the underdog. Always. And I always give him a bit of a breakdown with who's who and what's what and all the rest of it. And he called it. I mean, he called it straight away, to be fair. He's an old school fight fan. But it's one of them where he does much prefer the striking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one... I don't even want to try and get him involved or engaged in jits or wrestling. It's just easier to cherry pick fights and go, you'll like this one.
Yeah.
You'll like this one.
What about striking on the ground? Does he get that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He likes that, does he?
Yeah, yeah.
But as soon as they start chasing submissions, it kind of...
Yeah, well, he's... It just because it's going a bit faster, like when people are slipping transitions and doing stuff real quick, like with whizzes and overhooks and underhooks and stuff, there's quite a lot to take in as someone that's not really been brought up on that. So, yeah, it's interesting, man, because a lot of it is missed.
Mm.
But I do think it's worth watching, like, the Dwight and Alan fight again, because you get a massive...
Just one time.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Just one time. You won't need to watch it again.
You don't need to watch the Khalil Roundtree Eric Anders again.
No?
Getting it back onto fight. Not to score it for Anders, I mean. You can watch it as many times as you want because it's a fucking clinic. Yeah,
30-26 across the board.
Dude. The problem is, the whole time though, even when people were saying he didn't have to come out from the second, I still had confidence in Anders' hands because Khalil looks so relaxed. And you've seen it a million times where they're just bouncing, they've got that Muay Thai little hop. And he was killing it. He looked so good. But then
on my phone somewhere.
The whole time I was thinking, you know, if Anders just commits to one big old punch,
yeah,
he could ice this dude.
He could. But then, like, as soon as he took a battering on that lead leg, he didn't really have much pop in his punches, because you need to plant on that lead leg to throw with power. And I feel like, see, once the first round was over, like, one of the first things that I said to the guys when we were watching was, like, he can kind of do what he wants now,
yeah.
Because Anders is really struggling to move. That's why when in the later rounds, Khalil Roundtree started to land power punches, it was mainly because Anders couldn't move out of the way.
Yeah,
like he didn't have the footwork.
He was in porridge, wasn't he?
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely. It was a great performance by Roundtree.
Outstanding for saying that he just got turned off real quick by Johnny Walker.
Yeah,
I mean the trip to Thailand has paid dividends.
Yeah,
he looked insane. He made a case for himself for he's legitimized his run now.
Yeah, and also made Johnny Walker look really good in the process.
Yeah, for real, man. I mean, he's helped out a couple of guys. What do you think happens to Anders after this? Because that's a third in a row. But too tough for his own good.
Yeah.
What does Dana do with that? Does Dana say, look, go and hit Bellator up and tour the circuits?
I mean, good athlete, but with a skill set that needs to be improved, I think. Like Khalil Roundtree did, like we saw with Roundtree. Maybe do the same thing. Go and spend a couple of months out in Thailand and see if that works.
It's just for someone to pick that up as quickly as he did, though. Dude.
Yeah. I think, one in Anders' defense, because that was the first version that we'd seen of Roundtree like that, he also had the surprise element.
Holy shit, you know what I mean? It did surprise him.
Yeah. So like the first round, the reason why Anders got his front leg eaten up so much is because he was trying to stay in the pocket and try and punch.
Well, how much tape have you watched on fighters that you're going to fight? It's normally...
Loads and loads.
Obviously pre-stuff. There's never like moles in camps. So you pretty much get their previous fights, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's never done any of that before.
No.
Ever. So that must have been like a, whoa, this isn't fair.
Yeah.
Can we just play the game?
Like early in my career, I always knew I had one ground and pound credit because no one expected it. Because all of my fights up to a point were me kickboxing and trying to defend takedowns.
Yeah.
And I say trying to defend takedowns. Most of the time it was me getting taken down and getting back to my feet somehow. By usually escaping some kind of
submission. We don't have to talk about Dan Hardy's defensive takedowns, guys.
That sounded like Marlon Moraes.
Did it?
It did.
Marlon Moraes. I told you earlier.
Right? Sound like Marlon Moraes.
Yeah, Marlon Moraes. I've got to work on his voice. He looks like Mr. Pop when all
especially
the bits
have
come out.
Especially if he wins a belt. I mean, you need to work on your impressions if he's going to win.
The one person I'm not going to work on my impressions is Suhudo because I just can't lower myself to that douchey McDoucherton. Fuck.
All you need to do is learn to say gold medal and Henry Suhudo.
Hey guys, oh man,
Atlanta guys,
how much love is in this room, guys? So what Henry Cejudo's going to do while he's here is just be a motherfucker. God, how many people want to tread on his neck? Everyone, right? Fuck me running.
Yeah.
Just the way that, like, I like this guy. I'm a fan, but I'm goddamn gonna knock his block off. Be a douche or be a fucking hero. Like, don't dosh gone, gush darn fucking tell him.
Yeah. He should move him with Frank Shamrock.
Yeah.
And just become like the next version of Frank Shamrock.
Like Russian Dolls.
Like version 2.
Just like Russian Dolls. So do you go into
him?
We don't need to put him inside Frank Shamrock. I think they do. I think that's the Russian Doll centipede. Yeah, not good. But yeah.
I've had breakfast already today.
Yeah, he twisted me, but yeah, my GSP needs work. We might need to get Dean back from China to
get right.
Dan already.
Dude, every time I answer my phone to anyone in the collective, they all answer the phone the same way.
That's it.
It's ridiculous. You would think I ring GSP 5 times
a day. Were you impressed with the performance?
Main event, co-main event.
Co-main
event.
Right.
Israel Adesanya, Kelvin Gastelum.
Yo.
What a fight.
Fuck me. That was a good fight.
What a fight.
Really good fight. I applauded upstairs in my secret hideout.
We stood up and, oh, Mystery's playing. It's fine. He's playing. No, you're playing games.
No,
doing some editing.
Oh, look at him. Pictures. Pretending to work.
I've got some pretty nice pictures.
He struggles to type with his claws.
Yeah, with his...
Struggles to... You want to see
He's got no static on my claws. I cannot do touchscreen.
You want to see the scratches on his screen?
He was a French raptor. I don't know why. Fucking hell, dipping in the world today, aren't we?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It is a worldwide. Full Reptile Radio worldwide.
Worldwide. Worldwide. Do. Calvin Gaston.
We need some horns. Some... you know the... Maybe yeah. Not that one.
No, that's off the...
That was scary.
Chitty, chitty, bang, bang. The big brown bear goes lolloping over the mountain. Can you remember that? In the beginning, when the granddad was reading the story to the kids.
I haven't got kids. It's been a long time since I watched that.
You know the granddad...
I remember it being weird.
Yeah, it was mad weird. Creepy fucking weird. Acid trip weird. The granddad in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang is actually younger than Dick Van Dyke, who played the dad. Trivia.
Should I be surprised?
I don't know, man.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't picture... But he was I can granddad, picture Dick Van Dyke, but only dressed as a chimney sweep.
Yeah. Old man Boo. Yeah, fucking legend, man.
Every time someone in America does an impression of someone from the UK, but including Lacey, whenever Lacey does an impression of me, I sound like a Mary Poppins character.
Yes. Yeah, it's always Joe Rogan does a lot of like Connor impressions and stuff, and it's like almost like one of them where it's like, oh, it's the first time you tried that, isn't it? Oh, man. And it's like a real, it's like a Christmas cracker, like a Christmas cracker Irish. Do you know what I mean? Oh, just try this. Oh, I say potato. Do you know what I mean? And they get it kind of wrong.
What's the matter?
Waddly dogs in the house.
Oh, you seen Wads here. Okay. Go on, co-main event.
Okay, so Kelvin. What do you think? So, ridiculously impressed. But the movement, obviously, I know he got caught because he had that stutter step. I know he got clipped and it sort of changed his whole game plan. But we mentioned it earlier, going back to the well. And because there was an 8.5-inch reach disadvantage for him, it was just the 1-2 the whole time. Mm. And I know he pulled out, I think it was round 3 that he started throwing out some leg kicks. But other than that, it was just that 1-2. And yeah. I was like, dude, just, I know he threw a few to the body, but I mean.
I was expecting him to wrestle more.
Way more.
Even if he failed on every takedown just attempt. Exhaust him just a little bit. Something just to keep giving him something else to think about.
Yeah, because I had it even up to the last couple of minutes, because you almost could see it in Israel's face, like, nah, I'm not letting this go. Mm-hmm. Whereas Kelvin looked a bit more like, holy shit, I'm fucked. The difference being was when Kelvin landed that head kick, it wasn't a lazy kick, but it sort of clattered him on the back of the head with his toes, up the side of his head, and it sort of, I think it surprised him, but I think... he's ever going to, forever going to regret just not throwing down. Like, dropping in for that takedown, it was like, bro, what the, he's dead. He's mm-hmm. done. Just that 1-2 now is perfect.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, what do you think? I know you didn't break down the head kick, but yeah. It seemed to me that it was the biggest move of the fight.
It was, the thing is, so he started off, come here. Oh, she wants to get down and go and see her mum, don't you? Hang on a minute.
You're not going anywhere.
Where is she?
Where's she going, bro? So obviously Kelvin Gastelum, as you said, so there was a reach disadvantage, especially in the striking range disadvantage. Kelvin had to get inside the reach. He's got great head movement, and he utilized it really well in the early couple of, round and a half, really, to get inside and to land some shots. And I think Adesanya was surprised at how quickly he was able to get inside.
His head movement was
really good. Like just slip into the side, and also... like, and this is something I was trying to explain to the guys when I was coaching at the gym the other day, like utilizing your defense to set up your next offense.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So you go 1-2, slip, and your slip loads your back leg for the next punch, which Gastelum does really well.
Yeah.
And that's what he did with Bisping.
He generated so much power.
Exactly. Came back, loaded the back leg as well as slipping out the way of the shot. And
bing.
And the first time he got dropped, I do slow this down on open mat, he throws a punch, he throws a left hand, and then he drops back as if he was going to slip out of range, and Adesanya's additional reach was able to catch him. Mm. So, like, a tactical addition that I would have made, probably as soon as that happened, I would have taken out the slip back, the drop back.
Yeah.
I would have worked on slipping to angles forward, slip to his elbows.
Going to empty space.
Yeah, yeah. To elbows and to shoulders, so I'm always slipping past his punches, because in the early couple of rounds... You could see that Adesanya felt kind of smothered with that pace.
Yeah.
And I just don't know whether it was because because Gastelum couldn't maintain that pace, because it's an aggressive pace to maintain. I think a few takedowns would have helped just to keep Adesanya guessing, because then Gastelum's got...
Just to tire him out a bit, just to push on his arms, push on his legs, just to keep having to post up. Even if you're going to get back up, you know what it's like to do burpees.
Oh, it's exhausting.
So you know if you've got half a dozen of them with a big dude holding you down, because what surprised me was how much smaller Kelvin was.
Right.
He looked so much smaller, because it made me think, and this is a bit of a wild thing now, I don't think Adesanya defends the first time. I think he loses it.
Who to?
A Weidman, without a doubt. Because Weidman is essentially an Anderson Silva killer. Anderson Silva in his prime killer.
Mm.
Israel is as close to Anderson Silva as you're going to get. Now, Weidman's taller, longer, and has got heavy hands, and has trained solely to beat
Anderson Silva.
Anderson Silva.
Good point.
So I would like to think... you could see that's a decent journey for Weidman to get the belt back. Because Weidman, I mean, essentially I'm looking back 2 or 3 years when he was on top. But I can see all the training that almost had gone to waste because Anderson's not got it anymore is now back on the table. And I could see Weidman winning that just through experience.
Mm.
Whereas I know Kelvin's got a lot of experience, but he just was too small. Because he was that much smaller, he'd limited his offence. And it was unfortunate because, I mean, Israel looked insane. There was a few times in both the main and co-main where someone's looking amazing, then, oh my God, looking like they're about to lose it.
Yeah.
It happened both sides.
Well, you look at that head kick in, was that the fourth round, Kelvin came on strong. And the reason the head kick landed is because it was the first time he'd followed up his hands with a longer strike.
Yeah.
Land on the side of the neck, rocked him a little bit, but then, and like Adesanya looked like he was struggling at the end of the fourth round, and then he came out the fifth looking like it was the second round.
It's like someone just had warmed said, up and
yo, yeah.
Dude, this is now... I had it even going into the fourth.
Yeah.
I had it even going into the fourth.
So what did you do? First two for Gastelum, second...
I think it was first and fourth for Gastelum.
Second and third. Because he was almost winning the first round, then Adesanya came on strong.
Well, the thing
second
is,
half.
You know me, I don't really normally check rounds. I don't normally score rounds.
As I'm watching it,
I'm thinking, all right, I can keep enough of that information.
Owen's always thumb down to the death.
In my brain. I can keep enough of a fight in there to think, right, I'm pretty clear who I want to win this. Or who I think's winning, should I say. And it was one of them where, I mean, shout out to Mark. I know, obviously, I'd love to hear another listen.
Mm.
I'd love to, if you're listening, Mark. Probably not. It might have just melted his brain the first 20 minutes about monkey spunk and stupid shit. But
yeah. Anyway. Yeah, he's definitely not got this far into it.
Listen to this. It was when he went over to Israel. He was like, he's off camera, miles off camera. And you've got Kelvin here. And all you can hear is, too much water on his chest. Water on his chest. And you're like, yo. And Mark's just fucking demanding that Israel's dried up. He's fucking brilliant. But there's one point in the fight, I think it's 4:30 in one of the rounds, and he literally just bounces across. He does this like, whole crab thing bouncing across the cage. I was like, yo, that needs animating. Just Mark, just like doing Gangnam Style or something.
We'll grab it and make it into a gift, shall we?
Yeah.
He'll hate us for it.
And then the fact that he let it go.
I'm always cautious about how much I do tease and push Mark, because at some point I just feel like he's going to snap.
Yeah, and he'll probably feed me into you. And
when a heavyweight black belt like that, it's like you know the kid off Big Mouth,
yeah,
who, like, if you try and take his suitcase off him, he just goes into rage and just
full savage,
but Mark doesn't go rage. Mark goes like clinical Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Fuck you up.
Like folds you into a pretzel, but like a Terminator. Throw you out the window.
scary shit. But shout out to Mark. I mean, he gifted Kelvin the last 10 seconds, which, watching it back, it was close, man, but he made beyond the right call because it was only fair. I mean, literally, he'd put in 25 minutes work. And to be fair, in the 2 minutes, had lost it because Israel just put it together. Mm. He just seemed to be landing clean. I mean, the whole time he was throwing and he missed a few, I was thinking just one of those Gastelum shots is going to come through and we've fucked it. Like, the whole storyline is for Israel, let's be honest. The whole storyline is for him. Feel gutted for Kelvin that he doesn't get to have the fight with Bobby Knuckles, because that would have been a good fight. But how this sets up Australia, New Zealand,
we've
got a road trip.
Definitely.
Because I thought Israel was fantastic. He's on point. He looks wicked. I still think he could fight one weight class down. And I think someone that's the same size as him gives him big problems because there's a lot of style, a lot of flash, and a lot of, whereas you're gonna, someone like Weidman's just gonna be like, just chipping away all day.
Yeah.
Same as Jacare, Robert Whittaker. Whittaker, I mean, he's so underrated, man.
Yeah, right.
You get someone like Whittaker that's been that experienced, got that much stuff under his belt.
So hang on a minute. So you just said that he doesn't defend the first time. Does that mean he doesn't defend in the unification?
I think he loses it, yeah. I think
so, he loses it to Whittaker.
Yeah, if it's Whittaker first, whoever. I think
I'm not sure we're gonna see the Whittaker one, honestly. I'm just concerned about how delicate he is.
Yeah.
As frustrating as it is for Whittaker, like to see him get through a full training camp. And I would say that Whittaker's a much better fight for Adesanya in a title unification than if Weidman happens to step in first or something like that.
If you've got Weidman, Rocco, Jacare, not Rocco, Pitt. Weidman.
He's a light heavyweight now, isn't he?
Did you hear Anthony Smith go off on him?
Dude, yeah.
Fuck that motherfucker. Fucking two right Anthony
all
Smith.
All of a sudden he turned Wu-Tang on him.
Yeah, he just went full tilt, didn't he? Shark eyes like Bruce.
Bring the ruckus. Loved it.
Bring the motherfucking ruckus. Anyway.
Oh, you got food, have you?
Stuff in his face, in the thrash metal.
Hey?
Kid Mystery. Fuck.
We're the ones sitting here doing all the work. These two guys sitting pressing a couple of buttons
every
now and
then. I swear to God, I've nearly got up and taken it off him.
I know. It smells great,
gone towards his mouth. I've gone, no.
It smells great, doesn't it?
So if he comes across a Weidman, a Jacare...
Romero.
Dude, they're hard fights. Mm. Whereas, I think Bobby Knuckles, when he comes back, he's going to have that unknown element of like when Brock came back after his diverticulitis. So it's a big
after
thing.
After his what?
Diverticulitis. he had a lot of his intestine removed, didn't he?
He did.
And then he took a knee from ovary,
and the rest of it came out his ass.
That popped out. What's that? It's my asshole. Yeah, not good. So I think the unknown of Bobby Knuckles is tricky. But the thing is, I think as much as Israel looked outstanding, I think what Kelvin managed to achieve humanised Israel a little bit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I can see
because
that.
Because a lot of fighters now are sitting back going, fuck me, if Kelvin can get in there.
Yeah.
And then you've got a bit more weight and pressure. Yo, yo.
Oh, shit. I think you're right. And with the addition of...
Thank you very much.
Foods.com. It's because I've got to leave for a meeting.
Subscription service are available.
Because I've got to leave for a meeting. Wad's in the corner tapping the screen on his phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay. How long we got? We've got long enough. Okay. So.
Go on.
Kelvin.
We're late, Rod. Wad, tell them we're running late. There's evidence that we're busy. You know what I mean? Thanks.
Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of Wadley Dog.
Fuck. Mystery's just choked on his own tongue.
I've killed Sheldon. Okay, so yeah, I think Kelvin did himself a disservice. I think he just opened up the division. Are you okay? Shit, Slim's going as well. Sorry, man. Okay.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Gastelum was successful with some things, and I think someone that's got a more offensive grappling game, even if they don't use it a great deal, threatening it opens up the strike and it makes it more effective.
Yeah.
One thing that we do know is Adesanya's got a chin. He took some big shots.
He did.
We can see by the damage on his face that they were big shots. But he was dropped, but I think that was more a balanced thing.
But if he could get closer, if Kelvin can get a bit closer, because Kelvin was just catching him on the tip, just catching him. If you've got someone that's a bit taller, a bit longer, can deliver more knuckles.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of area there where that flash does cause him to stop and almost do the robot and sort of stand and do a few little bits. Whereas I think someone, like when Weidman caught Silver, it was just so unexpected just because it was just that little bit of a flick and you're like, yo.
Maybe Gastelum just needed Ray Longo in his corner just to go, punch a hole in his fucking chest.
Yes, yes.
Maybe that was what was lacking.
I still want to get Ray Longo just to do a reality show with Montserrat. Oh,
I would watch that.
Just where they eat cannolis and make pizza. Do you know what I mean? What are we doing today, boys? We're going full stereotype. We're going to have some spaghetti bolognese and some cheesy burgers. All right, boys. I'd watch that. I'd watch that for real.
I could see you would watch that just to practice your accents.
Man, the Boston twang is good.
We've digressed.
Okay.
So basically, so this fight, right. So let's just go through the stats, right. So Gastelum outstruck him by two strikes in the first round.
Yeah.
Just edged that, but had good pressure as well.
Yeah.
Second round, Adesanya came on stronger. He threw more. He landed 9 more strikes. He also got a knockdown and defended 2 takedowns. Okay. Second round, Adesanya solid. Third round, Adesanya again, outstruck him by 4 shots, but, you know, defended 1 of 2 takedowns, controlled the space better, et cetera, et cetera. Gastelum came on strong in the fourth.
Looked good.
That was his nitrous boost. He landed 32 of 69 strikes in the fourth round. So he outstruck Adesanya by pretty much double, but he did get 2 takedown stuff, which never looks good.
No.
Good takedown offense from Adesanya.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, how does he do against someone like
a bigger boy?
Right. Rockhold, God. Like Weidman and Jacare. Yeah, Jacare's got a fight coming up. That'll be a... Man. Anyway. And then the fifth round was just... It was just Adesanya showcase. 3 knockdowns, 57 strikes. Defender 3 takedowns.
It just seemed like he had a bigger moment in the corner. Mm-hmm. It's like he sat with his guys and they were like, yo.
Yeah.
You got to fucking do this.
Yeah.
And lit a fire. Whereas I think Kelvin's fire had been lit for the fourth and he'd looked good.
Yeah.
I think he had the chance to knock him out. He had the chance to finish him and be spectacular with that head kick. But I do like the Israel storyline. I think it's got a little bit more to it. It's got a little bit more flash. Don't get me wrong. Kelvin looked outstanding. He did brilliant. He deserves a 500,000 bonus. They all do. They all did fucking brilliant. But I think the Israel train is just a little bit more interesting. He's got that confidence, the way he talks about himself and everything else. And he's just, even on the mic afterward, bear in mind he's just gone 25 minutes. Didn't diss Kelvin in any sort of way. Because it's even when he says, yo, give it up for Kelvin, but he's just not ready. You're like, oh man, he's still your elder. There's still a bit more respect than that. Like, he kind of was ready. And he kind of did, like, he put on a show. So I thought, yeah, he sounds good on the mic. So I'm interested to see what happens. But yeah, wild card. I just don't think he's going to defend the next one. I think someone's seen too many openings that Kelvin couldn't capitalise on that they are going to take advantage of because they're a bit taller, a bit longer, heavier. They're just, yeah, I think he can get tested quite easily now. He's shown a bit too much.
Yeah. Okay. Owen's called it.
There you go.
Main event then. Go on, main event.
Oh, just out of that. Why is the main event normally that it's by weight?
I know,
weight
class. I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe I was trying to figure that out myself. Perhaps because it's a rematch. I don't know.
Is it because Max is still currently a champ, do you think?
Maybe. Different weight class though, isn't
it? He came out in the black shorts, didn't he?
Yeah.
But yo.
Go on, main event. Tell me what you think about the main event.
If I had time this morning to make myself a Poirier shirt, I would have made myself a Poirier shirt.
Yeah.
Dude.
Big diamond.
Paid in full, man. Fucking outstanding. That first round. I know we talked about it last week and we were very heavy concerned. Yeah, Max is going to do this. The width of Poirier. On his shoulders, just the size of him. And he literally, I'm not saying he disregarded Max. I don't know what it does for him to go to introduce him to the UFC and beat him decisively. To then when he comes back around again, and for him to not hold any grudge as far as, yeah, but he's a champ, the UFC's got behind him more, they've given him more opportunities. To look who Dustin Poirier's lost to. He's lost to Conor in emphatic fact. I know he got punched in the back of the head a little bit, like that rocked him. And there was a lot of tension going into that, the whole build-up when Conor was on the rise.
Yep.
And to come and to lose to Conor like that, to get sparked, absolutely sparked in a real bad blood thing with Johnson, to come back and do what he's done, to then ice out Max Holloway and it looking the way he did. Yo.
He's earned everything he's got as a champion. And I hope that Khabib is ready to fight immediately so we don't have to see Dustin Poirier defend the interim title against anybody. I hope he gets the Khabib match.
Yeah, man.
I think it's a horrible fight for everybody in the division.
Completely.
But like the two forerunners for me to beat Khabib are Justin Gaethje is my first pick, honestly. Yeah. And I know he lost to Poirier, but I just feel like stylistically, I just feel like he's mauling front
danger.
Headlock wrestling style with that power.
Yeah.
Whereas Poirier, I feel he's much more of a boxer with wrestling than a wrestler with heavy hands.
Yeah, man.
You know?
I mean... Just seeing him this weekend was fucking insane.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a few times where, I don't know, it's almost like he gave a bit to Max.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever Max gained in that, Poirier gave him. So he went off guard just a little bit because he caught a couple of those volume punches like the Diaz sort of rattle. And then he's up against the cage. And from 1 minute where you're like, yo, he's fucking going to do this. And he's just everything, mixing up different stuff, absolutely looking outstanding. That knee, fuck me, that was sick.
Man.
But
how many stitches that was?
I'd say
gotta
7.
Be 30.
Do you reckon? Yeah. I think 7
gotta
just
be.
At the bottom. To
7.
The top, like this.
He's not chucky. Jesus.
Like an open eye. Yeah, just big ones. Zip ties.
Yeah.
Get it in. Be right.
Climbing rope. Just stitch him with climbing rope. He'll be fine.
Gaffer tape. But I think whenever Dustin took his foot off the gas,
yeah,
because the thing is with Max, it looks like there's not a lot getting through, but it's that volume that's almost so fucking irritating.
It's interesting looking at the strike count though. Like, so you like go through the strike count, significant strike count. So 54 for Dustin Poirier in the first round to 30 for Max Holloway. Then Max Holloway beaten by a strike in the second round, but then Holloway 53-33 in the third, 42-34 in the fourth.
That's not like Max, is it?
The fifth round was almost tied. Yeah, it was 24-26 in favor of Poirier, but then Poirier got 7 of 8 takedowns.
Dude, but the thing is, he looked stronger and the amount of times he did look caught stronger.
I didn't think Holloway looked small though. I didn't think he looked small for the weight class.
I thought when you looked at like the size of his arms, it's like me and you stood next to each other. Your arms are bigger, your back's bigger, and it's just that incremental. Like if me, you, and Mystery stood in a row,
yeah,
it's just like
we'd look like Russian dolls.
11-12.
We're not going back to
11-12.
We're not going
13-14.
Fucking thing.
17-21. Do you know what I mean? You just got that line.
Right. Small, medium, large. Yeah, we could use it to advertise sizes on the website.
Yeah, el pequeño si gordo. I just called him a fat fucking Spanish man. I'm sorry. So
what do you reckon then? Yeah, good fight. Enjoy it.
I fucking loved it. And the thing was, because we'd all written Poirier off, just to see him get it done, because it wasn't. There was literally no fear going into it. He had his game plan. He stuck to it, and he looked dynamite. I was so pleased for him. And the way that the Max came out afterwards and was just like, "Yo, to beat a champion, you got to be a champion. To beat a champion." Fair play to him.
Yeah.
Fucking brilliant. They embraced even in at the middle of every round. And when at the end of every round, where they just sort of stop, hands on the hips. I'm like, yo.
There was respect all the way through. All the way through. And that bit at the end is one of my favorite things about MMA, where like the last 10 seconds is wild.
Ding,
and then they've got that moment where they just. And I said this to Darren Stewart the other day. One of the rudest things I think a fighter can do is to spend 15 or 25 minutes battling hard with someone. And then not thank him afterwards.
Yeah, man.
Like,
are you shouting out Marcus Davis for that?
No. See, what was funny with that is that as soon as the fight was over, he turned to me and like we shook hands, but then he didn't speak to me afterwards. It was odd. It was like,
it's funny, right?
But even so, like I said, like immediately afterwards, all trash talk aside, we respected each other because it was a hard fight.
Yes,
we both matched each other to an extent. You know,
I think sometimes you get that more so than the knockouts. It's like when you look at Stipe and DC. Stipe still, I just want to see him fight again. I love watching Stipe, but he's just adamant that no, that's my shot, and he's almost doing that Rashad John Jones thing where he's like, no, wait, and it's like, yo, just get back in there, prove yourself, let's have another go, let's just get back on the bike, and he's like, no, I'm waiting, and it's almost like DC can dismiss it a little bit, like with Conor and Jose, where it's like, I've been in there for 13 seconds with him, he doesn't deserve it, and it's like, well, he kind of does, but because when you've had a massive fight for say 15-25 minutes, people always want to see it again. That's why, was it Korean Zombie and Leonard Garcia.
But then the second one delivered as well though.
Yeah. I'm like, not going to say the result.
Yeah,
but
no, okay. Yeah. Yeah, no, spoilers.
There's an ice cream named after it. Watch that. There is an ice cream named after it.
Yeah, Viennetta.
Yeah.
It's the famous Viennetta.
Did you just get a Viennetta as a treat on a Sunday?
No, my dad always used to like Viennetta. Only once a year at Christmas. Mate, my dad and my granddad smash a Viennetta between them, but I just, not for me.
Well,
not much into ice cream.
No, as a kid though, we used to get a slice.
I say that, there's loads of ice cream in the freezer.
Yeah, to be fair.
Peanut butter cookie dough and all vegan though.
All vegan.
Shout out to Ben and Jerry's. Future sponsor of the Full Reptile Radio. Worldwide podcast. Worldwide.
Worldwide.
Nice.
There you go.
Nice.
That's a little soundbite. Yeah, see, we got treated with Viennetta. We'd have like a sliver. My mum would give us like a centimetre because we were poor. So we'd give us that. And then I can remember going to some kid's house and like their mum goes, do you want Viennetta? I'm like, oh yeah, this is the Holy Grail. And I had a wedge. I was like, yo, can I keep this for the rest of my family? Can I take it?
This is a whole Viennetta.
Possibly eat this lot. And then I found out now, like they're a pound. I'm like, mum. Not being funny, but like, play the game. What's going
she
on?
She just knew how crazy you got with that amount of sugar. That's what it was.
Yeah, to be fair, she just,
it was nothing to do with being poor.
Yeah, she knows how to.
You weren't poor. They weren't poor. No. They just told you that, so you didn't eat too much sugar. Because they couldn't control
you. Can I have
some
of this roller cola? No, not
and they
didn't
Viennetta. Spend anything on any. Didn't spend a lot of money on anything because you would just tear
break
through it.
Like a
Tasmanian devil.
I did go
shout
through.
Shout out to Tasmania.
Tasmania. The last story.
Worldwide.
The last story, Worldwide, which is in Duffield, where I grew up. My mum got crowned Derby. There's like a big.
She got crowned
ceramic
what?
Crowned Derby.
The but, queen of?
Yes. Queen of Derby with the pottery ceramicware, Crown Derby. You'll have seen it. It's Crown worth Derby. A fucking fortune. So my mum had this whole dresser, like a Welsh dresser on the side, which had teacups, plates, everything. It's all old school. It's like the golden something colour. It's fucking amazing. But always been there. Don't touch that because you'll get slapped. That'll give you red ears. That's what she used to say. If you touch that, you get red ears. You know, what's that mean? So you crack one, yeah. So you'd be like, oh, fair enough. Once she was stood ironing my school trousers when I was going to secondary school, and I came downstairs, she just ironed them. I put them on and started doing the whole comedy, like hopping into them like a twat, fell into the whole cabinet and the lock fell on me and smashed. And you've never seen me run. My mum's like a fucking ninja. Oh. She can literally take a slipper off, slap you with it and back on before you even like, huh? What the fuck hit me? Do you know what I mean? Like, poof, poof. So I ran down, ran up a tree and hid in this chair. I was at 15 and my mum came marching down the door. She's like 4'6" with a little tight perm. Where are you? And she could see I'm up the tree. Fucking hell, I got whooped. Whooped for the Crown Derby escapade.
I bet you did. That was the Crown Derby escapade.
Not like Dustin Poirier and Max Holloway to get it back to the fights. But I like that. I did circle get whooped.
We're going to have to cut it because I need to... Yeah, we need to get to a meeting. And plus, I need to get ready for Russia. Leaving for Russia soon. Isn't it? Yeah.
Nice.
Volkov against Overeem. But we're not talking about that because I'm working the show, and we ain't got time anyway.
Well, that's an easy thing.
We'll talk about it on Monday. We'll talk about how good a show it was.
There you go.
And how lovely Russia was.
Yes. How many times did you get bugged? How many times did your phone go through?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I'm interested.
Yeah, well, we can't talk. Well, so that's it. So what are we saying?
An old Nokia dial-up.
Do it. So they can't see. 402, play Snake.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, anyway,
good chat.
All good?
Do we have to walk away? Have you got to go?
I think we do, yeah. Sorry, guys. Well, thanks for joining us.
Take care.
All around the world. See you next time.
Worldwide.
It can do something no other kind of lizard can do. It can run continuously for a very long time, and that enables it to become an endurance hunter, chasing down its prey.